gonna see what the Tom says, some things that are so basic somehow sink from sight, you know. Front of Simach of Zion, Siftes and Sifyud. Now the subject of Siftes and Sifyud is where one is supposed to put the Tulin Shalosh. It wouldn't seem to be that it should be the most difficult of halachas, yet almost in all the Hichos Tulin it seems the hardest halacha to name a kind, in practical terms. Mokom Hanochas Tfilah Shal Rosh. Now we're talking, the Siftes will talk about where the front of the Tfilah is supposed to be, and Sifyud will talk about where the knots behind the head is supposed to be. Mokom Hanochas Tfilah Shal Rosh is Me'ascholas Ikre Haseya, from where the roots of the hair begin. Now, but the point of this saying it is from where the roots of the hair. Suppose a person has a long hairstyle and he wears his hair halfway down his brow. That's not relevant. We're talking about where the roots of the hair are. From where the roots begin, memetzcho, which come out of the forehead, above the forehead, atzeif hamokum shemocho shatina kroifus. Until the place, there's a soft spot in the head. When a baby is born, for the baby to be able to be born, the head is soft. And it compresses as the baby is born. That's what allows the baby's head to be able to exit the birth canal. So there's a spot, you can feel it a little bit, it hardens later. But, you know, there's a spot where it's soft. It has its, even by us, you can feel it between the bones. There's a big, right? There's a big bone in the back that starts the skull. Then there's the front, and right in front of that, that's the spot.
You don't be afraid to look for it in the little baby. We don't be afraid to
but you can feel it. You can feel it by us because there's a space in between the bones. Mm-hmm. You have the bones which start with the hole. With the hole.
That something that's helped for us.
We're not totally.
We're not totally a rock.
So it comes out. The halacha is we're going to see that the space to put two. One, most of the world held that it means one behind the other.
That would be small
tefillin. I once went, when I bought the tefillin that I actually use, I went to a very high class batimach in Yerushalayim. It's 30 and a half years ago. And one day I came to him, and he was making tefillin that were about yay big, very small tefillin. So I was surprised because the Mahuda de Ketfilin are not usually made so small. So I asked him, what's the pshat? So he told me he's making these for a Taimoni. The Taimoni wear the Rabbeinu Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam simultaneously. And they cover over the Rabbeinu Tam with the yarmulke and wear it under the yarmulke. So it shouldn't be visible because of Al-Taisif. So since they wear them simultaneously, they need to wear, have small tefillin. He made two very, very small, they're extremely mahudadik at tefillin, but very small. It's interesting, the Sattva Rebbe, Zecha Tzadik Levracha, he held that the pshat in the Gemara, very chiddish like pshat, that there's enough space sideways for two. In other words, I guess if you took two small tefillin.
It was narrow, but that's square?
What?
Almost there.
In other words, you could put two tefillin side by side, and both of them could actually be on the mokum of the tefillin. Not that you would want to do such a thing, but the question is, where is the place you have to wear the tefillin?
Uh-huh.
So he wanted to learn that it means that you could put not only front to back, but sideways also there's enough room for two.
To go back to the previous statement the Rav made, the Taimonim, I thought that they were separated from European from European Jewry for many years, even before the time of the Rishonim.
Yeah, the Taimonim were separated from Klal Yisrael from Bayis Rishon. They lived in Taimon.
So then, why would they have?
I don't. I can't tell. I can't tell you the history of it. I don't know the Taimony history, how it came to be.
Did they know them as Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam?
They might have had them. They might have had different names because they're apparently even roots of the Zohar for this machlokas. So it could be that they have them from other sources.
Many years ago, and my memory could be off. Someone told me that in Masada or Qumran they actually discovered both different methods. So I don't know what basis for that statement was, but that's what someone told me.
They've been all throughout history. In Nachal Kidron, Mesilvanis, on the Yerushalayim, Nachal Kidron, in that area, you know, the Kever of Yecheskel. So there's a Maisa that's brought in the Rishonim that the Kever of Yecheskel wants something caved in there, whatever. And they saw inside, and inside they found tefillin. And they found tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. I think it was the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin that they actually found inside the Kever of Yecheskel. So they started a whole tumult. It's a riot that those are supposed to be tefillin like Rabbeinu Tam. And others said, to the contrary, they were possible. They put them in the Geniza.
It could have been a much later date also they put them there.
Yeah, but whatever it was, but they were found. You know, I don't think that the Rishonim supposed that they were put in the time of the Rishonim. Mm-hmm. That was not the assumption. But I think even the Reis Yosef, I believe, discussed this Maisa. So there was such a Maisa. So we're not able, the other to say, in the Zohar, there are roots of this Machloikis. The whole story of the Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's villain, it's Ein Biyodeinu, to understand it fully. So the Tefillin Shel Roish have to be Mihascholas ikri aseya at sofum okum shol moichol shotina proifus. Now, let us see what this means. Ikri aseya perish the bene necho, even though it says ukshartum laos bene necho. So you might take it literally that you're supposed to bring your tefillin across the bridge of your nose. That's Bein Einechem. I once davened in a Beis Medrash in Manhattan where there was a guy that used to come and he davened Shacharis, I don't know what time of the day, 12, 1 o'clock, and he used to wear his tefillin on the bridge of his nose. And there was another Gogol in this Beis Medrash. I was learning it with my friend of mine, and I asked him, like, what goes on? What in the world is happening? So he said, no, the Adam Godel that's here tried already to convince him to tell this guy not to wear his tulum like that, but to no avail. He decided this is the way he's supposed to wear tulum. He's loving, so why? Because it says Bein Einecho. But Chazal say it doesn't mean literally Bein Einecho of Mamash, but the Gamino Zereshovim, it also simul Korch Bein Einecho. Which means you shouldn't tear one in, as a mourning practice, you know, tear out the hair. And that it also says Bein Einechem. Homer El Eitz El Meis is Mala Halom Bokum Sh'oiz Tekircha, a place that you can tear hair out, makes a bald spot. Ruhum Barosh, it's on the head, not on the forehead. Afkan Maskul Mokum Tefillin Mokum Sh'oiz Shaychas Tekircha, and a place where it's Shaych to make a bald spot. Mahinu Mokum Ascholas from the place that the hair begins to grow. And he says, and this hasn't changed. They're not properly fulfilled this halacha, but toyim, noimbar, sha'akotza oyen maschu b'mokam asaya. That as long as the upper edge is on the hair, that's enough. V'ikar tfilin mulach ala meitzach, even though most of the tfilin is on the forehead. V'ayuprim al isa deraisal. The cholat tefillin tzrichon leos menhokim memokum sheish kircha dena sheyafilu kitea tachton shalatitura. The outer edge of the brim, which is called the titura, munach hamokam ascholat ikrei aseya. That even has to be where there is here. So, now the truth is, it got somewhat better, but not fully. He talks about the fact that most of the tefillin shel roish were on people's foreheads. And the reason for that we're going to see later stems from the fact that the tefillin that they made in the Chabad Chaim Stone were very large tefillin. Probably about close to twice the size of the tefillin that we wear today. That a problem with such large tefillin is you start to realize that the ritzua of the Shorosh is set much further back. Now how, he talks about this problem later, how are you going to get the Shorosh to be in the right place, to stay on the head, if you set it all the way back, you will see there's a limit how far down you can pull the ritzua in the back. And to leave it up in the crown of one's head is not considered uksharatam. Uksharatam is the fact that it's pulled tight around the head. So it was just sitting up there, sort of plopped on top of the head, and one hasn't fulfilled the halacha of uksharatam. So with large tefillin, inevitably to pull it tight, you had to pull this down in the front and pull it down in the back. So somewhere it didn't work. I remember once there was an elderly man at a shul, and he had this huge tefillin. And he had a small head. And it was way out of line. So I tried to help him out to fix up the kesher. But if he made the kesher the size that the tefillin wouldn't be below the hairline, the tefillin couldn't stay on his head altogether. There was no way. It was so high up on his head that there's just no way that it could stay on it, a small head. There was no way to solve the problem. So this halacha is somehow lost in translation in all the dars. Aval ein lashgiach l'mishiyesh l'saros haruchos of everyone has longish and sheichman and chatzi ametzach that hang down on his forehead and he have shown tefillin. Yascholas mokom atzulim tzorach liyas meyascholas ikri asar sheva batachas olamayla from the forehead and above. Then he quotes the grove. V'yesetov l'niach tzas l'mayla m'shezeh. It's preferable to pull the tefillin a little bit higher. That it shouldn't be all the way down to the front of the hairline. There's enough space. Sometimes the tefillin pull forward. And when they'll pull forward, so if we set them a little further back and we pull it forward, it'll still be on the hair. But if we start all the way at the edge and it moves forward, then it's going to pop off the mokum tefillin. Now one has to be very careful with the shalroish, particularly. Because even if one has it adjusted properly, over time the leather stretches. And our heads are not growing in size anymore. So consequently, it could become very likely that the tefillin shorosh becomes too big. And has to be adjusted downward. So one has to take heed of that. Over time, the leather is going to stretch. As all leather does. Then he ends b'chalamaniach ala metzach, a person that wears the tefillin on his forehead. First of all, a minig karoim. It's a minig. This is according to Rambam and the Gemara. It's the minig of the carrots, because they interpreted the chumash literally, without Torah shabal peh. And Rameila said, "Dukshartem laos ayolecho v'ayulutoytofoyz benenecho." Okay, benenecho. They put it on the bridge of the nose. That's number one. The chol bal nefesh yazer lechaveirov, and any pious person should instruct his friend shalo yikoshlu b'zeh, because beyond the fact that it's been a karoim, they shall yichas v'shalom, they call poshe yisrael begufan. Poshe yisrael begufan is a chet of a person that does dezer karkaf to a head alo monach tefillin, and that's considered a very severe chet, the Gemara says. Begam habrocha avi levatola, and then he's going to make a brocha levatola too. The tefillin shel menachem shel loy b'mkaimam, if they're put in the wrong place, avu k'menachem b'kisam. It's the same as if we left them in a tefillin bag. So, this is the first thing that people have to be careful about. And, you know, people spend so much money for tefillin, and they take the effort to come to the Beis HaKnesses and put them on every day, and for a slight lapse, they may not fulfill the mitzvah. So it's just, you wondered everything, you know. I took the train and I went up to Yankee Stadium to the Yankee game, and I marched up to the gate, and then I got to the gate and I turned around and went home. I went back to Queens. I spent 3 hours doing it. So what I go for? And you spend tamoin geld to buy the tefillin. You came to shul and you bothered to roll up your sleeve and you put them on. and you didn't pay enough attention. So what happened when you went home and you still didn't put them on? So what was accomplished? The lapses have a big price. And this is one that we've, for whatever reason, I suspect that because of the fact that there were large tefillin in Europe, and that's why this Rabbim Nechsholim that has been so hard to uproot. You know, people were so used to the fact of that's the way tefillin were, that he came and said tefillin had to be elsewhere, like you're coming from Mars, like who would nobody, well, you know, everybody wears tefillin the other way.
Like you wrote mentioned last week, the whole myth of tefillin went into a period of decline. And
it's gone through declines in history too, also.
So coming out of the decline,
it's also once it doesn't always come back in the strongest fashion. It's all of these factors together, but this remains a halacha a problem throughout the dayos. Now, Yud is Sorchia Keshem Achari Arish Lamay Labairah. It's the Kesher in the back of the Shalrosh should be high up. Where, what does it mean by Ba'irah? So the Chavetz Chaim explains, Shu Sofa Gugoylus, means the end of the skull. Who? Neged upon him. And this is opposite the face. Right, if one realizes that the skull ends over here, so that's pretty much like, you know, up here, in this area. And it shouldn't be so far down, right? It's way up.
By the eyebrows.
Yeah, somewhere, yeah, but the skull ends. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be, and it shouldn't be down, you know, in the throat area. Now wait, we're not finished with the halacha, so let's not jump. Now most people, even with the tefillin that we have, and with normal sized heads, it's pretty hard to get tefillin to stick up, you know, properly with the ritzuah so small. Preferably, it should be above the guma. In other words, the guma is, that you can feel, below the scalp, there's like a little indentation. So the Ikara Kesher, at least most of the Kesher, it seems, should be lie above that point. It's the end of the skull. Do you feel when a bump sticks out at the back of the skull?
In the hole, or it should above be above it,
above
the hole?
Above the hole.
Above the hole.
Yeah, the hole is below where the skull ends.
So it should be where the hole is?
Above that. Now, we're not finished yet.
It?
Yes.
So that's where the
Kesher
should be.
Yes.
Above it.
No, that's what. In the hole? No, Lechatchili says it's better not to. No, we're not finished yet. Well, I'll call upon him, and at least Yeshlizor Shaliyah Filim Mikdas Kesher Munach Mokum Ponim Maseir. That at the very least, that no part of the Kesher should be in a place where it isn't here in the back of the head. The Shomu Mafrekas Atavra is considered part of the neck, but not the Oyrath. So this problem in art filling is very, very hard to have it come out, unless you have, I guess, maybe a very large head that you can get the knots all the way up on the skull and still have the filling tight. It just usually doesn't work. So usually we wind up into having to live with the alcohol ponim at the end of this Mishnah Berurah, that as long as the kesher is all on the hairy part, there's hair growing, that one is yaitzi to din. It should be exact, mehudekas, and tight over the roshah. And don't give myself an oversized one. Why? There'll be two problems. It has to be tight around the head. To be in ukshartom, lo yisayodecho. Vahiduk yakshiro. Where's the, on the shayad, the kshiro went around, he tied it. Or where's the kshiro on the shal rosh? Not tied to the body. It's the fact that the ritzuas are holding tightly against the head, that's the ksheira. Shaynes, dimhem refuyim, sobiv hekev rosho, if they're loose, yipol akzitzel afon avam metzcho, so either the bias will fall onto the forehead, or yipol akeshel achor of the matar betzavor, or it'll fall down to his neck below the heel, liyab mekayim aroyla, and he won't be mekayim mitzvah's children. So this we need to pay heed to, that in the front it's above the hairline, on the back that it's on the hair. Then we'll be yoytzer to the mitzvah.
You have the two kashers, two types of kashers, the dollar and the...
Yeah, the pashtus, the dollar is preferable to the square one. I'm not going to say pashtus, you know, mistavri or yoytzer with both. But
are they the same size?
Yeah, the size is the same, yeah. The size is the same.
So the bottom portion is to be put on the hairline.
The bottom portion, yes.
That you need to make sure.
Yes, to make sure that it's still in the hair, where the hair is. So if you have the right hand side in the back of the dollar is on where the hair is, where the knot ends, so then you'll know that you're good. Stuart, you want to tell me?
No, thank you.
Okay. This is the halacha of the mokum of the tefillin shel rish. Now let's go back to Siv Zion. Now let's see the mokum of the shel yad. This is also not so simple. Zion. Afa b'ish yesh lo the makom b'mokum anochas tefillin. Even though a person has a makom. In other words, an injury on the place where he's supposed to put tefillin. Yaniach tefillin. Why? Ki mokum yesh bezroya. There is a place on the arm. Laniach shtei tefillin. Two tefillin. Ki etzem asomach lebeis hashechi. The chetzio arakubdo. In other words, the bone which goes from the shoulder. I don't know what they have to find out the official name for that bone. The one that goes from the shoulder till the elbow. I don't remember. I'll have to ask my daughter. My daughter knows nothing of such things. So that bone, so from half of it and down, is the mokum tefillin. That's what he says.
So it goes by the bone and
not... Arakub duchum mokum anochus tefillin. Ya'etim asom adonishel mechetzio arakub duchum. The one that goes from the shoulder to the elbow, for the lower half of that bone down until the elbow. Well, we'll see the down until the elbow is not precise. Arakub do rotzalom or vosser rotzafuach. The Mogad of Roman wrote right this. It doesn't mean, in other words, there's a place, if you stretch out your arm, there's a small place where the bicep ends. The bicep ended. And
is that end below the elbow?
No. Bicep is here.
This muscle?
Yeah, this muscle.
So
the bicep, there's space below the bottom of the bicep, probably about an inch from the bottom of the bicep until the elbow. So that's not considered part of the mokum tefillin. But it's a little more bosra tafuach.
So the mokum is the whole bicep?
We'll see about in a second how much of the bicep. So it means where bosra tafuach means where it pops up. I show the tzadku hakubdo that it's towards the side of the elbow, the Shulchan Aruch means. V'lo yarakubdo mamash, and not until the elbow itself. V'im nispashet hamaka b'cholam bosra tafuach, I show the tzadakubdo. Suppose the lower half of the bicep is all injured, and he can't put the tefillin there. Yuchalismo chadasam akilim v'niach v'vosra tafuach asher b'chatziya elyon shel ha'etzem. Then he can put the tefillin in the upper half of the bicep. This is quoted in the Chayodim. Now again, a lot of times in our tefillin, the tefillin is not going to fit totally, unless depending on the size of the person's body. But the person is, you know, some people are very large proportions. But people of smaller proportions, or maybe even average proportions, many of the tefillin will not necessarily fit in the lower half. In the lower half of the bicep. So if it doesn't, so we have to push it up rather than down. If it goes off the bottom of the bicep, then we're not yaitzei at all. But if we push it up, that it's at least on the bicep, even if it's above here, so at least we yaitzei. So that we have to be careful about.
Someone is taller to be more than an inch above the elbow?
Well, you see where your bicep begins. I can't tell you, you know, each person. You have to see, you know, make a muscle, and you'll see where the bicep ends.
Right.
You know. I don't think you want to make a live demonstration. Yeah. So this is important to keep in mind. So that we've defined what the mokum of the tefillin is. Now I want to examine the time that we're supposed to make a bracha. So these are the two most relevant halachos that we have to know. Number one is where to put the tefillin, and number two is when to make the bracha on the tefillin. And this is also a mystery. This halacha is lost. It's lost in the fog. Very, very few people actually know chapter and verse, and to know clearly what they're supposed to do. So this halacha of what this mam, we're going to go back to Simon Chof Hei Sivchet. The guiding principle here is the following, and again we're caught between two things. That's the problem. Number one, the Gemara says in Psachim that all birchas hamitzvos have to be made over la'asiyos, and over means before the doing. And the Gemara brings three psukim to show that over means before. So they should be done over la'asiyos. Okay, that's easy enough. Take the tefillin out, so hold it in my hand, make the bracha, put it on. No, also not good. Why? It can't be distantly removed from the mitzvah either. It shouldn't be after the mitzvah, but it shouldn't be too soon. There shouldn't be too long a gap, l'chatchila, in between the bracha and the mitzvah. So how do we lessen the close the gap that we have the least amount of space, and yet we haven't done the mitzvah yet? That's the problem. That's the enigma. So, kol ha-mitzvahs mevorach aleihem over la'asiyosim. And this is a quote from the Gemara. Vayavar ha-sakushi peres rots v'hiktim lefonav. Lefikach, consequently, tzorach levorach al ha-tefillah shoyad. When is the bracha made of the tefillah shoyad? Achar anoch al ha-kibayrus koydim kshirosim. After we put it on the muscle and before we pull the tie, shirosan, the pulling the tie, zui asiyosan, that's considered putting them on. So in the shoyad, we have to take the shoyad out, take it off all its appurtenances that we used to store it, put it on the muscle, you're holding the two are ready to go, then make the bracha, and then wind. But if I put it on when I'm holding it in my hand, it's too early. That's lifnei the kaidim to kaidim, so to speak.
But then it also has to be done before you tighten it.
Yes, because that's before the mitzvah.
Because the tightening it is the actual
right,
mitzvah.
So once you have it, in other words, if you pull it against, but you haven't gone down and gone around yet, you haven't done the mitzvah. The shalyad is not tied just because, you know, you have it here.
So if I'm holding it tight, and I haven't started to roll.
Roll, that's fine.
That's
the proper time.
Yes.
You have it between the loop there.
That's fine.
And then before it's off in the loop, and then you pull it there.
Yeah, you could even tighten it, because it calls money you haven't actually gone around. It's not going to stay on. The chayra, that's not the kshir.
Because if you try to make it while just sitting there without any. Without having a hold on it, a tightness on it.
So I guess
it's going to fall all over the place.
It's, probably you don't make it fully, fully tight, you know? So you leave it a little bit less than fully tight, and you give it the last pull, you know,
and then
start going around. We'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, yeah. The Sikha of Tzorach, the Vorach, the Tfilah, Shoyar, Achara, Nocha, the Kibaras, Kaidim, Kshirosim. So let's see in the Mishnah Berurah how he defines these terms. Achar Hanoch, and Chafei, the Kaidim, Lachain, Lachatchila, and Roy, the Vorach. The chatchila one shouldn't make the bracha before then. The havi kaidim the kaidim is two steps removed. But tzorach lekarav a bracha l'siyas mitzvah chomad efshel. We have to get them as close as possible to each other. Kaidim shirosim. With the yevid yivorach afilu acharkach. And with the yevid you can one may make the bracha even after they have been one. The mitzvah yeshlo k'mitzvah sheyeshlo meshach zman. Any mitzvah that lasts for a while, hu bechul ayoyba. You can make the bracha at any time. Now, koydim shabahatkin, That's, I'm sorry, that's in Chavzai. The Kodim Shiroson, I would define and push it here when the Shal Yad, that the Hiduk is not, because they're not tight. Even no matter how tight you made them, you still would not be, I would jump ahead to the Shalosh. No matter how tight you made the Shal Yad, it's not tight. It's not going to stay on. If you let go of it, it'll just fall off until you go around. So that the going around is the actual Kshema. So I could pull it tight, make the Brocha. That's a little more correct than what I said before. Pull it tight, make the Brocha, and then wind.
So you do the Brocha once you pull it tight.
I can pull it tight even, yeah. Tight.
Because it's not going to hold, because
won't
you
hold any hour.
You haven't tied it around the arm.
Correct. So the Kshema is the actual, the real Kshema, better show you about, you better show you out.
And in the time when we say the Brocha after Shabbat Shemar,
you just touched him.
Lift
it up, or? You don't know enough, you just touch it. Give it a little kiss and let you know. Now, v'chein b'shal roish, koidem shemahat koi b'roisha. And in the shal roish, we should make the bracha before we tighten it. Koidem shemahatken, ki ahiduk hu mitzvah sakshera. Well, by the shal roish, the hiduk is mitzvah sakshera. And that's perhaps why it uses a little bit different lashon, mahoyu l'toytofet. He a mitzvah, he hiduk a mitzvah k'sher, but tzorach gamkin is oshi ya brocha achas shum unochem ala reish. So when do we make the brocha again? Not while we're holding it in the hand. Lokos and shum avrochem b'odem b'yodem. Not some people hold it in the hand and then they put it on the head. Yimkein ha'av alei koidem l'koidem. So it should be on one's head, but before one actually pulls it tight. Now the next thing is gam b'shas brocha shal tfilin shal roish, tzorach shi yem achus ha roish ha betalis, v'lo yivorach b'gilu roish. He has to be careful that his head is covered. It's very easy in the process of putting on the tefillin to have an uncovered head. And one can't make a bracha there. So we define now.
So the tefillin shel rosh could actually be in the place that they're going to be.
Yes.
Not to the side. Or
they don't have to be. As long as you haven't pulled it tight.
It's supposed to be pulled again. Pulling tight.
That's the kshera.
That's the kshera. That's what you said.
Yes.
So he's going to right before that.
He's going to pull it tight. Yeah. Yeah.
In the shel rosh, does that mean putting it in place in the back and before you pull it, straighten it out in the front?
Yeah, that means before you pull it down over here, it's fully adjusted. You know, you have it on, so it's a little, it's loose-ish. Loose. Then you make the bracha, then you pull it down, and it fits, you know, everything into place. Before one pulls it down and this pulls it out down, that's all one makes the bracha. Now siftes is a very, very important din. Very, very important, a very relevant din and a very important din. Osur lahafsik b'diba, one may not speak b'tfilah shel yad or tfilah shel rosh. V'im hafsik, and if one did speak, now this is very interesting. Before we proceed, just to make it be the background of this. History has its ironies to it. And this is one of the most ironic things that came about. There are two machloikas in which are particularly relevant between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam about tefillin. One is the order of the parashiyos. So their history has rendered its view in accordance with Rashi's tefillin. So we wear tefillin with the Seder of Rashi's tefillin. On the other hand, there's also a machloikas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but the brochas of tefillin. What are the brochas of tefillin? Now, our practice, we Ashkenazim have the practice that we make two brochas. The Sfaradim have the practice that they make one brocha. So, what happened here? Here we wound up with the first shita. Rashi agrees with the first shita, and Rabbeinu Tam agrees with the second shita. So what happened here is we wound up with the in our Ashkenazic practice where we're Rashi's tefillin and we'll make the brochas according to Rabbeinu Tam. It's one of the ironies of Jewish history. Off the top of my head I don't remember, but this is one of the irony that's always struck me. Rashi's tefillin with Rabbeinu Tam's brochas. The Sfaradim at least have Rashi's tefillin and Rashi's brochas. The Ashkenazim have Rashi's tefillin and the Rabbeinu Tam's brochas. That's what the Ramo says. Well, the Didon Denoyag in the Warach Shtei Brachas, the Ashkenazic practice of the Tubra. So, one second, I didn't finish the Mechaba. So, when is there a Bracha? There is indeed such a Bracha in Shas of a Mitzvah Tzilin. So, according to the first sheet, it's been Hivsik, if one made a mistake and spoke in between the Tzilin Shoyad and the Tzilin Shorosh, the Warach Al Shorosh, a Mitzvah Tzilin, then why otherwise the Laniach covers both? And the Ramo says, well, the Didon Denoyag in the Warach Shtei Brachas Afim Loy Hivsik. Our practice is that we always make two brachas. Even without a hefsik, so if there is a hefsik, tzorach lach, that means the brach of the lahaniyah goes on the shell raish too, according to us. Avam lo hefsik, tzorach lach, the lavorach al shel raish lahaniyah, gam al mitzvah. So we have to make a bracha even without a hefsik. Avam lo hefsik, tzorach lach, the lavorach al shel raish lahaniyah. Now, so our practice is we make two brachas in loy hifsik. Therefore, tzorach lach so the warach al shorosh. If there is a hefsik, we have to go back to the rosh shorosh and make the bracha of gamal mitzvahs.
The
shoyad, no?
So can you start with the
shoyad? No, well, now, yeah, we do start. According to us, the noyag in the warach shtei brachas afim loy hifsik, tzorach lach so the warach al shorosh, laniach. Meaning to say, that the bracha of the lachzer levorach al shorosh lohaniach gamal mitzvahs. We make two brachas, so if we made a hefsik, we have to make both brachas on the shorosh, not just one bracha. Because we hold the bracha of lohaniach goes on both. And we say al mitzvahs also, but lohaniach goes on both. So mameila, if we made a hefsik, so on Mechuyev too,
repeat the
Lohaniach also. And we're going to see a Chiddush. The question is in what order one should make the two brachas. We're going to see a Biral, very interesting Biral Loch, on what order the two brachas should be made. And he brings a sheet of Rabbi Kiva Eger that one should reverse to first make the shell, the bracha on the shell Roish, and then go back, or rather make the al mitzvahs, and then make the laniach in that order, but in case of a hefsek, we'll see. So let's now take a look at this.
So reverse it only if we...
Means
why is
what?
That? Because we usually do the laniach.
No, because he has a cheshbon that'll be yotze kol hadayos. Because according to the first day, I only have to make al mitzvahs. So I made al mitzvahs, so I'm yotze according to them. Also the hafsek. Now this is very, very important. Even if the reason that I want to speak is for a dvar mitzvah, keep going. L'hoshuv shalom l'rabbi. To my Rebbe said shalom aleichem to me. Chutzpah that I don't answer. B'chol k'hai gavle higurim brocha shen etzrichem. Now what comes out from this we're going to see is that one cannot even answer Yehishmei Rabbah. A borachu. In between Tulan Shal Yad and Tulan Shal Rosh. Avin Loisin Amanich and Tulan Mechalamoid Bili Brocha. Let's say a person puts on Tulan Mechalamoid, he doesn't make a Brocha. Oh, Hamanich and Tulan de Rabbeinu Tam, Acha Shecholat Tulan de Rashi. Or he's putting on the Rabbeinu Tam Tulan and he doesn't make any Brochas. Or Shecholat Tulan Amanach Lach Zir. And suppose he took over Tulan and he has the intention of putting them back on again, that he doesn't have to make a new set of Brochas. There are, in that case, there are more posak, but if you bay, you say, Tzorach lach, so the work is a manichan acharkach, or the work is a very rehila, a siach benayim. One may not speak in between them. The lachat chilo, the inon, she use smukon and the kufu zelaza. The way to put on tefillin is one immediately after the other. Steve, hoyu lachol ha'os ha'yodecho, hoyu lachol ha'os ha'yodecho, lezikoram benanecho, she yavaya achat ha'shteyim, and one shot that should be put on. Let's first do the next Mishnah Berurah. And then I'm going to clarify one point here. B'dibur, v'afilu b'loshen ha'kodesh. That even b'loshen kodesh, one may not speak. U'lechat chilo. Osra afilu l'hafsik b'shkika, one shouldn't be silent. Im shoya harbe, if there's a long wait, shalom v'torach, unless there's a need. Afilu lo b'siach d'aito, even if he still has in mind to put it out. Afilu liramis vein, lirmos vein, of likrois bad voices to make signals in a tefillin shayarav and a tefillin shorosh gamkin ish lizor l'chadchilu. Now what comes out is the following. That the Mogen Avraham does spell out one thing, which is not spelled out here. So normally it's also even to enter Yomei Yeshmer Rabba. If we enter even Yomei Yeshmer Rabba Baruch Hu, at the Hefzik, and we have to make the new brachas the second time. However, on those times that we're putting on tefillin without a bracha, it's Chalamoy, or I took off my tefillin and I'm putting them back again, or Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, so even though the Chatchila, I'm not supposed to talk, but the Mogen Avraham Paskins, that in such a case where I'm not making a bracha for Yeheshmei Rabba, I'm supposed to stop to answer Yeheshmei Rabba at that point. In other words, it's only there, it's not usher, it's strongly preferred not to. And consequently, since there's no real hefsek in the bracha, so if I have to answer Yeheshmei Rabba, the Kedusha, Baruch, or any of those things, then I'm allowed to answer them between the Tulin Shoyad and the Tulin Shorosh on a day that I'm not making a bracha, or a situation where I'm not making a bracha on the Tulin right now.
So that would also include when you're putting on the Tulin before the Mantra.
Einochanam, if it's a very good application. Suppose we put on the Tulin before the Mantra, we're not actually making the bracha then. And I'm putting it on someone says Kaddish. So I should answer Yeshmei Rabba in between the Kaddish and in between the Tulin Shoyad and Tulin Shorosh. Yeah. So this is also not well known how far we have to be machmer, not to be mafsik. Then hifsik, afilu b'shoydi, even if it was a shoydi, he just didn't realize, he blurted out something. Nevertheless, he has to make new brachas. So if you don't deny again, why? He says, Kayatam, Shalom, Brachos, Stay Brachos, Tfilin. Kulodaiva, Bracha, Berichos, Baniach, Levad. Why don't we make two brachas? Why don't we just make one bracha? On a talis, I don't make more than one bracha. Who shall serve in the eker tikkun brachos eilu kachoisa? That the manner of the brachos is defined. Tchilas hanachos and tikkun levarach laniach. The coin ami al shorosh. As one starts to put them on, the lehaniach goes on both. Who shall niach al shorosh shumahat kol and varach nami al mitzvus. So it will be a gemar mitzvah. That's the end of the mitzvah. So one brachos at the beginning of the mitzvah, and one at the end. Because it's tchilas hameila imsoch misiach daito. If he talked, that's a break. So if last of the work I'm on here, I'll show you, I'll show you. Because it applies. No. Here he writes the following. That in a case where one spoke in the middle, so the din is one has to be in low hip. After low hip sick, we use therefore in a case of hip sick, so last of the work, both brachas. So he writes, Menochun shi yimashma ish oz b'shol yad. It's better in that case if I have to remake the brachal azizot in the komo to move it off its place. That's what he wants to argue with. And he writes, the chazir was there and tightened the kesher. It was there tachs from brichas laniach amal shoyad. We don't make the laniach after shoyad. Rashi was tufim zelaze. It's as if I put them on in one shot. The berach below mishmush, the mashmush achar abrocha.
So we should move it, not just touch it, according to.
I don't think our practice is, since we could, that we actually move it off the makom of the tefillin. I believe that our practice is that we just touch them and that's enough. We don't take off the talus to put it on again. We make a block. We just touch it. We put up a mezuzah, we don't take it down for the wall. I'll check in this clearly on this point, but I don't think our practice is to move it off. To move it off the place that it's filling. Right. Okay, now we still have a little bit of time. One more halacha. Let's go to Chav Zayin Beis. This is also a very important halacha, the one that is often not attended to properly. Haminig Anochayim Shel Yeya Yud Shel Tesha Tfila Shel Yad. We need at the end of the Ritzua. There's a little Yud. That Yud should be the Tzad Aleih, next to the heart, but Tfila all over the Tzad, so the Tfila is further out from it, away from the body. We should be careful that the Yud should not move away from the Kesher. In other words, the Yud of the Kesher should move away from the Tefillin.
How can you keep it there?
No, so the Shailas, there are two Shailas. Number one, there are two shaylos with this halacha. Let's first take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Basically, Zorah v'Zoyah Parshas Pinchos Machmor V'Oid V'Inizeh. V'Yesh V'Chinim D'Gan K'Shem B'Toch Tisan. Even when they were in the case, Tzrichon Zorah v'Zoyah Shaloi Tozuz Hlal Ayud. That it should move. When the time is there, Yesh Noyeg and Likshol Ayud and Chut Shol Gid. But some used to take some type of string made from an animal part, from a sinew of an animal, in Matfilo. Roy the Vakal there. Why they there? Shelo yechut shel gid sofer v'kitura. It was tied around on the outside, so it'll be under in between his tefillin and his head and his bicep, and therefore it's chaytis when it's roll out tefillin. The lishis tzrod because of the roll of the gamkin and the shekochah of a tefillin will come up to birth. Hatachas v'kitura rabbi gamkin chaytisa. Some people go around; they wind under, and then they go, you know, around. But they go; they put one thing under the tefillin. This is that also they shouldn't do, because he knows it will be a chatzitza. So the shayla in this halacha is what it's referring to. Does this refer that it should touch the tikkura, the brim, and that's enough? Or the halacha is that it should touch the bias itself? And this has been debated. It's generally assumed that it's supposed to mean the tefillah itself, the bias. Now, one has to have the, you know, with a ritzua that's somewhat on the thin side, it can be pulled all the way in and pushed into place. But they have the Chabad Chaim of Mechadish Akesha, some that holds it in place, which some people use. And they have other tricks that they use. And some held out, they never held that it doesn't have to actually touch the bias itself, as long as it touches the edge of the tefillin, the Tura, that also suffices. So there is some question about that which he's referring to. But certainly the Chatzila, we should try to go to the Sefer, to have him to make the Kesha with the type of a Tzua, that it can pull in enough that it keeps the yud against the bias itself.
What is the rod mean by the brim?
The tikkur, the rim that goes around it. There's a brim. And right? So then have a brim around it. You have a bias that sticks up, and then around it there's a rim.
Oh.
The tikkur is the rim. So some say it's enough to have the other says it's enough if the yud touches the rim. That's God.